your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God. You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I got a heavenly plug. I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another blessed training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The head of the church, the head of the body of Christ. Amen. And to Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, amen, and the Running for Christ Ministries, and all my friends at Word of Faith and Straight Gate, and I can't remember, Faith Temple, amen, and all the different saints, folks up at U of M, amen, and hallelujah, hallelujah, and our folk down in Texas, relatives and friends down in Texas, and I thank God for you, amen. You know, it's just such a blessing, you know, and it's a blessing, but at the same time, you know, when I'm out there, I was out this weekend because it was nice, and I was talking to people. You know, it was give and take, and, you know, some people are aware of what's going on and a lot ambivalent. They don't really care. They just won't, they think it's going to go back to normal. You know, we're moving forward to something entirely different. Amen. Praying, amen. Let's go before the throne of grace, amen. Gracious, most blessed Heavenly Father, Lord God, Jehovah, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless your glorious name because truly we thank you for this opportunity that you have provided for us, amen, and the opportunity that you for us to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, because it was through your blood that this is possible. Amen. You bridged the gap between us and your Father, and we thank you, who is now our Father. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for you, our guide, our comforter, our teacher, our instructor, to help us to stay on the path of righteousness and so that we can receive all that God has for us for this eternal life. Father God, we thank you right now. We give you glory and honor and praise. And, Lord, we're asking that you bless, amen, the saints over in Hawaii now that are facing challenges, amen, with the flooding that's going on over there, Lord, that you would strengthen them with might in the inner man. Comfort them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Continue to bless them. Bless us all with the spirit of wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened more so that we would know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that use it, that submit and obey you. Lord, bless us to continue to walk in love and with a full understanding of his length, his width, his breadth, his depth, his height. Amen. Bless us with the knowledge of your will. Amen. And give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work that is acceptable to you, that we can walk upright before you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord. We're asking that you touch the heart of the bereaved, Lord, and those that are without peace, Lord, if you would bless them with a revelation to help them to know that you are the provider of peace. You're the giver of peace. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank you for it right now. Father God, we're asking that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people. We want to hear from you, amen, your revelation and information that you want us to have to walk with in these last and blessed days until the return of your Son, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you look at America, even though there's some things going on in America, outside of America, it's really, it's just crazy. But, it's par for the course. You know, make no mistake, I know we want things to come back to a norm, but the truth of the matter is, it is going to get worse. Worse. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation about a woman going through birth pains, and anybody that know anything about childbirth, the closer you get to that new life coming forth, the pain gets more intense. And sadly, I'm seeing things that are showing that sign, the stress. But the answer, you know, is Christ. You know, when I was going to high school, it used to be some of the students. Matter of fact, they were part of a student group, you know, and they in the back, they used to wear a red badge and say, Christ is the answer. You know, and even then, I asked one of them, I'm like, what is the question? You know, Christ is the answer, what is the question? You know, and I think one of the mysteries, one of the things that have disturbed people is they don't understand the pieces of this puzzle. And even a lot of the men of God don't understand it. And that is because they don't ask the person that has this plan, and that's God. And, you know, it's amazing that they are comfortable with not knowing. And I couldn't do that. For me, it disturbed me a long time because I met intelligent people, and one thing I know about intelligent people is they always generally operate with a plan. So I just could not believe God didn't have a plan. I mean, we knew some things, but we really, I think one of the parts that was left out is this part. And it's been brought forth in different times in history. And I think for the most part, people really just wanted their plan. They wanted God's plan to be their plan, and it ain't that way. You know, I look at how strong and how idolatry it is. And I call it idolatry because God has given us all things to enjoy, but he don't want to be left out. I mean, what parent would give it? You know, I know if I gave my kids everything they desire and they never said thank you, I'd cut off the giving. Okay, we're at a point right now where God is dealing with those who deal with him. You know, you find in several of the books in the Old Testament, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's not a cliche, because that means at some point, it won't be that easy. It'll be easy for those that seek him, but for those that want their own agenda, it tends to become a challenge. And that's what I'm seeing now. You know, it's like the pool been drained and they can't go swimming and they want to know why. Well, you know, it's like I said, it's a change coming. So let's get to the heart matter at heart here, and we're dealing with the purpose, still the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and that is basically saying that God has an expectation that our character would conform to his. And his word describes whether or not that is occurring. And if that's not occurring, it should give concern, particularly to the average individual, particularly to the average Christian. Because this life is coming to a part one. It's coming to a close. And I call it part one because if you really analyze the Bible, there's three parts. Part one is from Adam all the way up until the return of Christ at the end of the seven-year tribulation. There's going to be up to Adam, up to the rapture, seven-year tribulation, then the return of Christ. Okay, to rule on the planet. Then part two began. That's the millennial reign, Revelation 20, verse 6. That lasts 1,000 years. Okay, 1,000 years, and that's because during that 1,000 years, we will have to be at it. Like I said, we have been made incorruptible, but at the same time, we now have access to the fullness of the power of God. You know, we know that man uses about roughly between 20 and 15% of his mind. Some of that is increasing, but it also is revealing why God has these characteristics in play. You know, we look at now, we have more billionaires than we've ever had, but we got more homeless than we've ever had. Something's wrong with that, but that is because there's people have stepped out of love. And that money, I remember a man of God said years ago, the money it has a life. It has, he called the forces, the Bible called the forces of the Gentile. That thing like a wild bronco. You know, I used to have a suit. I called it was a Puff Daddy suit. And I'm not really a GQ type person. You know, I'm not up on the latest fashion trends. Never have been. That's just not me. You know, I dread wearing neckties, okay? I will when I have to, but I won't when I don't. But I had this, you know, I had learned some things about money, and I just went on the shopping spree and bought all these little sparkly-looking suits, and it bugged me. It actually disturbed me of the level of compliments I got. I'm going to tell you one of the things that disturbed me. I would get compliments on the cheap suit. Now, the suits that I had, it cost as much as all my, I had one suit, I still have it. It costs as much as all the other suits put together. When I wear it, don't nobody say nothing. You know, it really just amazed me. You know, but they just being nice. But the point is, it told me that, you know, people either like you or they don't. You know, it ain't about what you wear. You know, and that's the thing. See, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about characteristics that the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 12 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by the changing of your mind. What? Change your mind from what you was taught, what you grew up with, to what the Word of God said you should become. So it's a characteristic, and mainly because it's about relationships. Again, you see throughout the world, if you look at the world, when you watch the news and you look at all the negativity and you think of two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, you'll see that's what is missing from the people that commit some of these horrendous acts. I've seen two situations where people were a major homicide, four people killed, murdered, stimulus checks. And the thing about it is, there's a lot of people, because when you're outside of Christ, you really don't know how unprotected you are. See, I've been on the other end where I have seen these men come to jail, and that demon has left them, and then their eyes open up. Then the reality began to hit them, and we have to put them on suicide watch, because then they want to. I just recently read about a person that committed suicide. I heard today on the news of a young man that committed suicide that's suspected of two homicides. See, living outside of Christ, you got to get this. You're dealing with a demon that has an IQ of 2,500. The smartest person, I just recently read about a young man that has an IQ of 246. Now look at that. Still, the demon is 10 times as smart. They've been at this longer. So what we're talking about, this fruit of the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the same as if somebody gave you a space shuttle and told you you could fly. I mean, that's how powerful it is. And you yourself are an extremely powerful person. And that's something we must keep in. That's why the scriptures was written, not just a bunch of laws to force life on us, to make life hard for us. The laws really reveal the significance of the necessity for us to manage the little access of power that we have. We have tremendously powerful people. I know it's hard to imagine that you by yourself are more powerful than all the nuclear arsenals on the planet today. And God is looking at the fact that only two things are going to regulate that: your love for him and your love for your neighbor. You know, I can't overemphasize that. All the scriptures keep coming back to those two issues, because it boils down. What you get in scriptures are detailed analysis of how to accomplish that. But it is of great necessity. God is watching right now how we respond to every situation. He's got a record that people are not even thinking about, you know, and I find that people take it lightly, but when they die, and I get the thing about this is, if you look at some of those videos of people that have died and gone to the other side, one particular comes to mind of a pastor that went over there. He was over there so long that they had autopsied him, and he couldn't stay. They autopsied him, and then he came back. And he woke up just before his funeral. God sent him back just before his funeral, you know. But he couldn't stay in heaven because he had an issue with his wife. It wasn't a major issue. His wife wasn't no real simple issue. It was his attitude toward his wife. And the angel said, if you stay here now, we would have to send you to hell because you need to fix that. We take this too lightly. Because why? Because, again, you're made after the likeness and the image of God. The likeness is a key factor, major factor. You go back and you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you'll see a difference. God just called the animals up out of the earth. But he's the same dirt. He put his spirit in there to make man. And that he created a soulish realm that put limitations on us. Had he not done that, Adam would have been equal to God. He had to put a limitation on him. He wanted him to be a son. Okay? I mean, really, image of God, son of God, image of God, son of God, express image of God. See, you're dealing with an omnipresent person. You can't think in these human terms about an omnipresent person. You really got to let your mind go. And I'm telling you, if you would take the time to ask God about that and then give him some quiet time, he will detail it to you. You know, I know some people finding that out, thank God. Amen. All right, so we're talking about here the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We've been dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. We deal with love, joy, peace. We started in long-suffering, and we're going to try to get into a little bit more long-suffering and gentleness, okay? Long-suffering, I mean, Think about that. You know, I heard a man of God. It's amazing how God is just, we tuned in to the Holy Ghost. He was saying the same, almost something similar to what I'm talking about now. God is, wouldn't do this for nothing. Long-suffering. You know, one of these, I guess you would call him a theologian, said if man had been responsible for writing the Bible, this would have been left out. Long-suffering. I know I would have left it out. You know how we is. We want to do what we want to do. You know, you know, we want to say what we want to say. I mean, like, long-suffering. You look at the events, the crime that's been committed, it's long-suffering. I tell you another area you can see with long-suffering people ignore. And it's sad because a lot of things God can't get done is indebtedness. You know, I remember I started saving for my first car when I was 16. I was working. They had a work program. If you had the grades, you could work part-time. You know, you would leave the last 2 hours of school and go to work. And, you know, you had to keep the grades up. But if you had a specific area, they would try to get you a job in that area. But the thing is that I knew, you know, to save for a car. And see, because I was born during a different era than now. This credit that y'all see, credit cards, back in the 50s and beyond, going back from there, the only people that had, they had charge cards, which means they had basically a charge card was you didn't have to carry cash, but you could pay for it with the card, and you would pay the card off at the end of 30 days, within 30 days. Then they came up with a new bondage called credit cards. And, you know, to see that, that's all that is. Okay, the Bible says in Proverbs that the debtor is servant to the lender, okay? And what makes a person do that? They want it now. And that's what they sell you on. Get it now. Get it now. I mean, I look at the price of cars that are just going up tremendously. My first new car, one of the only new cars I bought, cost $3,300. Now, that same car is amazing. Look at what they did. I paid $3,300 for a 71 Barracuda back in 1971, 72. And if you bought one right now, they want you to pay 10 times as much for it. And banks will give you that. They'll give you a loan and charge you interest for paying it back. They want you to pay $27,000 for an old car. Car was made in 1971. Doesn't do anything more. It don't fly. It won't make you taller. It can't go underwater. Can't go on the water. All you can do is drive down the street like another car, and it get poor gas mileage. You know, back when I was filling the car up, it would get like, it took $6 to fill the tank up, and you can get 20 gallons of gas. Now you put $6 worth of gas. I bought $40 worth of gas today. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. All right, but what's behind that? See, that long-suffering requires a restraint on your spirit. Waiting, the thing that we call the dirty word in Christianity. So that applies to a lot of areas of life, not just personal relationship, but personal management. Indebtedness, what hit the country in 2008? Indebtedness, what's going to hit it the next time, right now? Indebtedness. So, but, you know, God can, and the thing about waiting is everything gets cheaper and better. I mean, you just, you know, you really, and it's about a curbing of your appetites, okay? That's what's behind that. And like I said, and then in the area of relationships where it is applied the most, last time we started talking about Job and all the challenges that he was facing. In how God let the devil loose on him, but that was done, as Paul said, for our admonition, for our benefit, as an example to us. And Job, but see, God picked Job because Job had experience with God, and you know, it's really we choose God, okay. We choose to be close to God, and God accepts our request to be close to him. And let me pull this up right here. closer. Because in James 4:8, it says, draw nigh. Nigh means near. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Okay? Then he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, and you double-minded. But, you know, that was Jesus' brother, James, so, you know, back then. But he was right on the point. So Job, like Abraham, called out and God responded. This is why I emphasize, call God, go to God, call God, go to God. They, of them, in and of themselves, were no different than anybody else. God respects faith. Faith. God respects faith. Job and Abraham, he came up in a culture that had, when I did a paper back in the, like 2000, and Abraham, that's when I found out Abraham's family believed in 57 gods. Okay, there were religions before God came forth with Abraham because they were trying to make God in their own image, their own imagination. And again, that's what this is about, not making God in your own imagination. So he's telling you in his word. Now, see, God communicate with per people, okay? And as they listen to him, he gave them revelation. He will do the same with you. You know what I'm learning and what I have learned and what I'm sharing, I get by revelation from God. You know, I don't set limits on God. I let God set the limits, and he don't have any. You know, I say, draw near, you draw near one. Worship means something to him because that means you're paying attention. That means you believe that he is God, okay? And this is how these things occur. Now, this is how you also fill yourself with the Spirit, which is filling yourself with the revelation of God, which gives you more power to do what you need to do, to stand. That's the quick of it all, okay? So we're talking about long-suffering, amen. I gave you the Greek word, is, I think, makrothumia. It really don't matter on the Greek. The key is it says long and it's suffering. But in this case, suffering in and of itself is dealing with something that's really beyond your control. And it really is essential in a personal relationship, and especially in a marriage, and especially with growing with children, dealing with children. You know, one of the incidents that recently happened, you know, with one of the, I want to say high-level Christian singers, Kirk Franklin, you know, I'm impressed with the outpouring of love and understanding from the body of Christ. I really am impressed with that because that's the way it's supposed to be. The man ain't Jesus, you know, and why people, there was a time whenever a man of God I'm lacking the word that I want to say, whenever they, you out there in the public eye, people just somehow had these delusions that men of God were perfect. People say, think that about Christians. When we are quoting scripture, we're quoting historical facts about God, okay? And like I said, you know what? Because if I miss it, listen, 1 John 1:9 says, if I say I have no sin, I call God a liar. Because at some point in time, listen, the devil, this is part of it. See, now, again, this long-suffering, I have to accept myself while I'm waiting to get to the place that God wants me. Because, listen, most people are bugged when they have a shortcoming. It bugs them. Paul, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had an issue. People debate what the issue is. I personally think it was anger. You know, because Paul, you know, they talk about his eye was dripping and all that, and he had, you know, I think it was anger. Because you want to display consistently that you are submissive to God. And Paul would get into it. I mean, he wanted to get stuff done for God, and I know some people like that. I know people like that. But, you know, what God expects for us, long-suffering is love moving. love being active, okay? You go back and you read the definition of love. Love don't think no evil, okay? Love thinketh no evil. And my prayer, you know, at the end, I always say love works by faith, prayer works by faith, faith works by love. See, this is practical. That faith works by love is early up in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. This is part of the package. You see a consistency of this teaching throughout the Christian nation during that time. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I think I want to start at verse 9. I really should start at verse 7, but that's another whole issue. And I'm going to read out of the NIV edition. It says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." But he goes on. Now, you got to understand that if this was just natural for us, a natural way for us to behave, a natural response to us, there would have been no necessity for Peter to teach this. But you got a connection of not only Gentile, you got Gentile Jewish cultures, you got men, particularly men, that have decided their way that life should be, or how to respond, what is right. And understand, back then, they didn't have this part of the Bible. And even though they did have Deuteronomy chapter 6, but I doubt very few of them read it, Deuteronomy 6:5, if you meet somebody that's of Jew and ask them what Deuteronomy 6:5, but then their Bible is a little bit structured different. Ask them to explain what it means, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. See, because that shows up in how I deal with people. Now, the issue is, too, that God was long-suffering toward us. I mean, come on. Now, even though I got saved, delivered when I was 25, God told me I got saved the first time I prayed the prayer of salvation. There was a five-year gap in that. And my behavior during those 5 years wasn't nothing like what a saint of God should have been. And God was, quote, long-suffering. Long-suffering is like faith. Works by love. That's the key factor to that. See, right now I'm dealing with it. I watched. It was really enjoyable. But again, like I said, I saw how a lot of people felt about the former president of the United States, but particularly with Christians. And the thing about it is, Jesus said, if you want mercy, have mercy. See, how I treat somebody is how I'm going to be treated. How I deal it out is how I'm going to receive it. So if I want it from God, that's how I had to put it out. And I saw him as a training. But for me, I had already been trained. See, because I had to deal with criminals for like 31 years. And for God, I remember he right off the bat. I mean, I remember before they had built a new jail, and I would have been moved over there, and they hadn't brought in that many prisoners, and right away God told me, some of these are my children. I mean, he said that just as plain as day. And now imagine where I'm at. I'm in a jail. You come in because you've committed a crime, or unless you have committed a crime. You know, someone was so obvious. But he was only going to allow me to treat them as his children. Now, that didn't mean if they acted, out of order, that I couldn't deal with them, because the Bible, it covers every area, People don't know that because they don't read the Bible. It ain't always turn the other cheek. You know, sometimes you have to deal with it. That's long suffering. You know, it doesn't give you a license. Doesn't mean you have to license somebody to just live in sin. All right. All righty then. Now, I want to talk about one other person. I mean, I just briefly, Joseph. He was a classic case of long suffering. I mean, true enough, it could have been done a different way, but I don't think it would have been done a different way. See, the fact of the matter is, Joseph, man, he got his relationship. There were those relationships like Joseph. For those of you that may be not be familiar, you go into the book of Genesis in chapter, I would say, 33, and read on, and you'll find that there was a son of Jacob born of one of his wives, and one of them was named Joseph. And he became a famous, he's a renowned character in the Bible. And the thing about it is God had given him a vision of his future. So, and this is a FYI to those of you that may receive a vision of your future that people may become jealous of. You need to analyze that. He shouldn't have, because he told them and made his brothers extremely upset about it. And he ended up, his own brother sold him as a slave. Can you imagine that? And that's, you know, they still do that today, you know. But, okay, so he gets sold as a slave, which means he's turned over as a slave and then as a slave. But Joseph's attitude, that's the most remarkable thing about him, was his attitude was consistent. Now, I'm sure at some point, at the beginning of it, he was a little depressed. And, you know, when things happen, people wonder, well, my God, why you let me have this? Because you didn't show me this great dream, and now look at me. I'm being sold as a slave. Then when he's there, because of his attitude, he gets promoted while he's as a slave. And he wound up in one of the country's leader's house. And in the process of doing that, because he was a handsome young man, the leader's wife tried to hit on him, and he rebuffs her and runs, and she lies on him, and he's in prison now. So here you'd have been sold as a slave. So you know, but you got the right mindset. You're still praising God. You're still walking up before him, and you know, and you get promoted, and then here it is taken. The devil comes again, and now he is thrown in jail again. All right. But at the same time, he has this ability to discern dreams, and that is because he spends time worshiping God. He spends time worshiping, praise. I'm telling you, see, we have to. If you look in the book of Revelation, you see a lot of worship going on. That's an attuning to that God created to keep our minds linked to him. See, that's what you get. That's where you can get that ability to rejoice. You can't not do this. I mean, I don't miss a day. At least I try not to. I don't think I ever miss one, but I mean, it doesn't, we have a 24/7 God, so you ain't got to lock it in. Let me see, at 6:15, I got to praise God. No, you can praise me at 6:17, 9:15, whenever the opportunity presents. I'm going to tell you something, and it's something. You'll find this out. Start asking people that you know that are Christian and ask them, do they worship God directly, 3 minutes a day. Every day. Just ask them. You will find out. And seeing that right there, see, because when you give to God, he'll give back to you. You will never give him more than he's going to give to you. That is a key factor, and this is going to become even more critical as time evolves over the next few years, because that's going to be essential. That's survival tactics, spiritual survival tactics. All right. So Joseph is sold as a slave. He praises himself up to promote. promotion. He gets promoted. He trying to be a consistent blessing because he consistently thinking, I'm going to glorify God. He gets lied on, thrown back in jail. And there comes another need arise, amen, later on, where he gets promoted again. Bottom line is he ends up becoming one of the chief leaders of the nation of Egypt. Now, mind you, here you got a Israelite, okay, that believes in the one and true God, a leader in a nation that believes in multiple gods. I mean, they just totally disregarded because the wisdom of God had manifested. See, so again, long suffering, not rendering evil for evil, allowed God to bless him. See, the key factor that you want to take away from this is that you want to keep a consistency of the flow of the grace of God going by not letting the devil steal your joy. Really? Steal your joy. That's what it is. He can't steal it if you don't give it up. He can't just take it. You know, that's what it talked about in first. Did we read 1 Peter 3:9? No, well, we're going to go through read it anyway. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, yeah, we did. We did. Because it said, do not repay evil for evil. As a matter of fact, I have a phrase that I use called the Gen 50-20 effect. And that's in Genesis chapter 50. Let me read that right quick. And that is, now, mind you, remember now, his brothers had sold him into captivity. And now what happened in the land was, in the nation worldwide, was a famine, something that is probably coming pretty soon. But anyway, so the very people that harmed him or that rejected him now are under his authority. See, you know, they have a phrase about be careful, you know, how you treat people on the way up, because on the way down, you got to come back past them. But anyway, I don't say how they say it. But anyway, so Joseph brothers, God gave Joseph, see, this is something. John 16:13 said that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Okay, now back then they didn't have the Holy Spirit within them. They had the Holy Spirit on them, but they got that by getting in the presence of God. See, you'll never remember, I don't know if you remember because it may be your first time listening, but you'll never get into the presence of God and feel the presence of God and God not deposit something on you, in you. Never. That never. God is a purposeful God. He always does something with a reason. Now, so let's get this quick run through, because I want you, this is Joseph, if you read it, you got to read it. This is a classic case of long suffering, not rendering evil for evil, letting God work it out. So he gets, now they're at the place where the world is in need. God gave Joseph a revelation of, okay, revealed to him that a famine was coming. Okay, so now you start saving for the famine. And that's another area where long suffering. I want another vehicle right now. But when God say, put it on hold, I'm on hold. You know, and I really do. But see, at the same time, you know what I'm watching? The specific vehicle I want, I'm watching the price come down. And the quality go up, okay? And seed growing. You know, I see people with 10-year car notes. That's just retarded to me. But anyway, but that's them. Everybody each his own. Okay, so now his brothers got to come to him with a need. And little do they know they got to come to Joseph. They don't even know they're going to go to Joseph. Because what are the odds are? This is, as a matter of fact, this was the prophecy, okay, that Joseph had been given a revelation of, okay, but it came to pass. So, but Joseph waited him out anyway, so him and now his brothers are before him, and his brothers came and they submitted themselves to him, amen, and acknowledged that he had been risen to authority, amen, got promoted. And Joseph said, but in verse 9, Genesis 50, 19, Joseph said unto them, don't be afraid, I am in place of God. Now, they're worried because Joseph is now in a fire. He would have been the equivalent of being the vice president of the United States, okay? And he never went to college. Remember now, he came out of jail to get to this position. See, you can't, you know, you can trust, it's all right, the Bible say get an education, but above that it say get wisdom, and wisdom is God, come from God, okay? And that's what Joseph got. Because when Solomon, who had the only recorded economy with no poverty, same thing. Solomon went to God. Something that we have to pray for our leaders in our nation to do, go to God. That's why we're faced with the situation we have. God is sitting back with his arm folded and say, okay, now, if you don't come to me, that's on you. Can't say I didn't do nothing because I put everything in place. So in verse 20, he says, this is where I get my 20-50 effect, 50-20 effect. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, so one of the other things that you have to think about, see, at the end of the day, like I said, God already, if he gave you a plan and a revelation, you can count on it to be carried out. Because I remember talking with a politician, amen, praise God, I hope she's listening. But, amen, she's an excellent person. And I said, y'all may not keep y'all word, but I can count on God to keep his. And that's the main thing you want with this long-suffering keeps the continuity of the flow of the favor of God in your life. See, and again, Satan challenges that. He knows that. He watches what's going on. Remember, he's been at this 6,000 years, 5,900. But anyway, he's been at this a long time. So he know about the favor of God, and that's what was reigning in Joseph's life, the favor of God. That's what was reigning in Job's life, the favor of God. Job was a highly, if you look in Genesis, Ezekiel 14, now look at this, Job, God talks about Job in Genesis 14, Ezekiel 14, as a person that we would commonly recognize as a priest. Okay, remember now, historically, you know, Job is the oldest book of the Bible, so, you know, we're talking about, we don't have a specific date on when it was written, but I do know that it was at a time before the law was done, and it had come down to be codified and all that. But the fact of the matter is God recognized this man at a level, because at that time when God was talking to Ezekiel, Israel had gotten into so much trouble that he was about to come down on, but they were so bad, God said that if Abraham, Noah, and Job came before him to intercede, they can only save themselves. Now, the fact, think about that, that God recognized you. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to see that reality about yourself. You are the royal priesthood of God. So walking in this, living by this, it puts you in a position where your intercession, your prayers for those in authority counts with God. You know, earlier today, I think I visit the atheists on Facebook and just dropped them a little thought, you know, because they claim they're atheists. They ain't atheists. They just rebels. I met atheists. I talked with a hitman once. I mean, this guy was showing up stuff under federal indictment. And I asked him, did he believe in God? He told me if there was a God, he'd stop him. This man had no problem killing people for dollars, you know. I mean, I've talked to several of them, and them are atheists. I've talked to rapists that felt like, hey, they out there, I can rape them. You know, I mean, it's something. You're talking about some demonically possessed people. But even then, how do they get delivered? Because it has happened. I know one hit man that has recently been in the news. I remember that event. I wasn't the one that led him to the Lord, but I know the two sisters that did. And he that happen? So you got to put the whole package, because one particular sister, I knew she was going through some challenges in life, but this is why her focus was serving God. Serve God to the point that she ministered to a man that was a professional killer, and that man got saved. See, again, we're in this life are learning how to manage the power of God that he has given us, which shows God what we will do in life part two when we have the fullness of power. See, remember, it is never going to be about just us. And as far as I can see in the word, like I said, we're going to be have two different characters of people. Now, I mean, I'm open, like I say, if it's going to be different, I mean, people hold different opinions. I'm like, show me, because I can see the reality of it. I can see the soundness of it. But I do know right now, like I say, this here is like I say, this is about personal spiritual management. All right. So we're gonna talk a little bit more here. Matter of fact, this is what the Bible's talking about. We're going to show some Romans chapter 12. Paul was talking to the Romans again back then, verse 18, 7, showing the consistency that this is the plan of God. Verse 14, it said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who persecute you. You heard that before? Remember when we were talking about in Jesus? Jesus was talking about it in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. This is how we, you know, God, man wouldn't have put that in the Bible. He just would not have put that in the Bible, because that don't make no sense. But again, man don't understand how the power of God works. Men outside of the will, outside of the realm of God. But again, you have to, like I said, word long-suffering is a type of an encompassing word that has in it patience, that has in it a longevity. I even saw one word, longanimity. Bottom line is, minus a totally violent situation where you have, you know, spousal abuse, something like that, or even in these days, I just can't imagine. It's hard to imagine. I would never have even thought to abuse my mother. Of course, then I got brothers. That wasn't going to happen. I would have got abused. But here, Paul talking to the Romans, he said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Reading out of NIV. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, be willing to associate with people of low position. Talking about, you know, if you're rich and me and you hang out together, don't be acting like you're better than me. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone, meaning that sometimes it just ain't possible. Okay, some people just saying, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, believe me, you know, we just recently had a situation. My wife, she had a dental appointment. You know, right now with the COVID thing, everything is slow, you know, to get an appointment. So she had to wait 2 months to get an appointment. Then they messed up in the process, which forcing her to have to wait. But what really immediately caught my eye. I'm busy fighting suppressing profane words because I'm hot, you know. Because she, you know, got to deal with this. She's smiling. But then, because why? Because her mind function is, okay, you know, it's that mindset of God don't work this out. Perfect. I mean, like I say, but that's been one some of the things that I've known about her throughout the years, you know. You know, we used to have, we had different type of love battles, and she would win, you know. I mean, but that comes from, again, like I say, long suffering. You don't, see, like I say, you got to hold on to your faith in that aspect. And I would say the longer you have been walking with God, the longer in some cases he may take to deal with an issue. But then there's a lot of factors that go around that. But he has an expectation that if you've been with him for a while, that you will submit to him and let peace have as well as, man, I want to say what the words say, be at peace with God. You want to let the fruit of the Spirit manifest. You can't, like I said, you can't spend every day with God and then you're going to act like you never knew God. And it takes practice. It takes practice. It takes a willingness of the heart. See, because that's why you get them words like let. When you let peace, let joy, let, that's a choice you have to make, see, to restrain yourself. Because, again, like I said, when you feel your spirit coming up in you, you can feel it. It's like a volcano. It want to erupt. It want to come on out. And you have to press it down. God is not going to do that for you. God is not going to do that for you. And I'm seeing right now, I used to see all the time people would come to jail for a moment. They let it go. I would even see, and I could, it's almost like I could tell a person was saved. You know, one was they had a certain level of respect with their voice, you know, and their word choice. They said it's something different. But again, they saw how quickly the devil moved. So see, like I say, don't, this is not religion. This is kingdom life, and that's the way you have to look at it. Because in the end, down the road, in a lot of areas, it's going to save you a whole lot of grief. I can guarantee you that. How many people have been divorced because they didn't want to be long-suffering? How many people have filed bankruptcy because they did not want to be long-suffering? How many people have lost jobs or giving up good jobs because they did not want to endure long suffering? You know, like, this is a practicality of life. And in the end, again, the purpose is the development of your spirit. Because like I said, by the time I had to deal with the late president, or I ain't gonna say late because he's still alive, the former president, I hadn't had so much experience, and it was easy for me. But it should be easy for anybody, and particularly this is, you know, it's got to be disturbing to God for people that have been Christian for like 40 years, and they're still at kindergarten level. Is that you? Are you still? Because at some point, you got to grow. At some point, you got to grow. Well, I hope I've given you a revelation that long-suffering is not just something they stuck in the Bible to make your life challenging, but it is part of managing your life to the point that your life will glorify God. Now, understand, people may not see God glorified in your life, but heaven sees it and God sees it. And remember, when God is blessing, the devil start messing. See? Especially when you're about to get a big blessing. He's going to throw a whole lot of mess. But anyway, to do all this, you got to have Christ in you. You got to have him on the inside. I just watched a video where this guy was given a revelation of the DNA of Christ and how it relates to us. But anyway, it would take more than a minute to explain what that is, but it is an actual event. So when we pray this prayer, in the spiritual realm, there is an occurrence that will bring about a rebirth and a recreation of your spirit before God. This is the plan of God. This is how God does business. See, you were born into a situation that you had no say-so over, and that's part and parcel to why God created man in the way that he did. But he put this in place so that you would have the opportunity to decide to spend eternity with him. And that is simply just say this prayer with me. Lord God Jehovah, I do believe you. I believe Jesus is your son, and you sent him to die for our sins. And right now I ask that you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And Lord God, I thank you. I believe I receive salvation through Jesus, and I thank you for it. Right now in Jesus' name. And that's the quick of it. You got to acknowledge God. You got to acknowledge that we're born in sin. And you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You can't just go to a church and sit down. You have to ask Jesus. And you have to let at least one other person know. You have to make a commitment. You won't be a success overnight, but the key to this life is to never quit. And read the Bible. Read it. You know, the revelations that you need, God will give it to you as you read. He himself will get involved through the Holy Ghost and educate you. And know this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. Receive all you can from God. And with that, I'm going to close out and see you next week. And next week we're going to deal with gentleness. Amen. Begin there. Bye-bye. Love you.
Y'all ready, y'all? Come on.